Friends in Christ and family of Bethlehem, you and I are cheerful givers. Let me explain. St. Paul writes to the Corinthian Christians, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly, those who sow seeds, will also reap sparingly, not get a crop. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, with that in mind, Paul's trying to get the point across to these brand new Christian people living over there in Corinth long, long ago that you and I are stewards. Now, for those of us that grew up in the church, whenever we heard of stewardship, we cringe, right? It's always about money. Well, stewardship is about money, but it's about so much more. I'm here today to tell you that you and I get to be cheerful givers of all the things that God has placed in our lives. Our vocations. Raise your hand if you're a mom or dad or if you ever have been. I know there's more out there. There's a lot of them out there. That's a thing that you get to steward in your family, how you treat another by your vocation as a mom and dad, a son or daughter, brothers or sisters. How do you be a good one? You could also steward your time. We get that adage long, long ago. We grew up in the church that we are stewards of our time, treasure, and talents, right? Well, time is a big thing. So thank you for making God first in your life by taking the time to be and take part in worship. That's one thing that we steward. So we're going to take a moment today and maybe the next 2 weeks to really hammer down those great riches that God has entrusted us to take care of. The people in your life, in your family, God has given you as a gift, as a privilege to honor husbands and wives, to take care of family members. And God knows that we can be, and God loves that we are a cheerful giver when we take part in those things that we steward or manage. Now, fun fact, when we talk about the word being a steward, about being a giver of ourselves, the original word is an old English word, like old English. It means the manager of the sty warden. Now, what's a sty? Anybody want to say what a sty is? I've got any farmers back here? Anybody that grew up on a farm? Ever been in a pig sty? Yeah. A pen, sorry. So literally, a steward is a manager of the pig pen. You're willing to get down in the muck and mire and the dirt and the nasty stuff that we can't say in church. And that's what it's like for you in your lives. Life is pretty messy. We know this pretty early on in life. Our job as Christians in this life that God has given us is to manage it. Manage the messy things in life. Manage the goods and the bads. And all the time, guess what? Be cheerful. We're cheerful givers. Now, with that in mind, that is what Paul is telling us today. But specifically, instead of saying those trait words, time, treasure, talents, I want to do something new for all of you. Let's do something different. Let's talk about faith, family, and friends. These are things that you and I get to steward, to manage. Now first, let's talk about faith. Faith is something that is pretty obvious for us as churchgoers, for us as Christians, but it's one that we often limit in our lives. We like to put God in a box sometimes. We like to make our Christian faith just something that we do 1 hour a week on Sunday, and we leave it there. At least we, at times, can do that. But there's a whole slew of reasons to look in Scripture that Part of our faith actually is connected to how we give to other things. In Scripture, we have heard that the love of money, now get this, it's the love of money, not money in itself. Money's not a bad thing, but it's a useful thing. It's the love of money, whether we want more or if we're complaining about not having enough. St. Paul also says in 1 Timothy that it's the root of all kinds of evils. We know this pretty well, right? Anybody heard in the news the stock market craziness going on? People love money. We're going to find a way to get it, but we do so, we're going to hurt other people. It's the root of all different kinds of evils, and it's through this craving that some have even wandered away from the faith. So today, faith is actually connected to our giving. God expects us to be faithful in all the areas of our life, including giving. So I want to turn to the next slide here and explain a little bit. This is a printout that is made available for you. You could have picked it up on your way in today. This little yellow sheet, there are multiple copies on the way out on our welcome booth. Thanks to our financial recorder and our stewardship manager here, this is a composite of all of the givings, financially, of course, from this past year here at Bethlehem. We've broken down into about 109 families or giving units, either individuals or groups, and the different levels of what they've done over the year. Now, this is anonymous for persons, but you can find out where you are or maybe where you think you are, and we ask where you think you could be. We look here that there are a lot of people on one end or the other. We've seen that there are at least 6 families that give generously, 200 or more per week, as an average. We have some people that are right around the middle. We have a large contingent, about 19 families in our congregation that maybe do about 1 cent or $5 bill a week. Now, we're thankful for that. That's a way of giving. And we know the year is very challenging to us in our vocations, of our jobs and our families. It's a pandemic. What we ask is you to consider, what is it that God has given you, and how can we give it back to God? How can we move up one rise in the stairs? Now, as a way of helping you, I'll turn to this next slide here. This is also on the back of that yellow sheet. You can look up where you or your family unit is based on your annual income, based on how you are living. And you can find out where a percentage is of what your giving totals could have been. For us as Christians, we strive as a biblical model to get closer to that magic number that's highlighted in the 10% range. So, for example, if you're maybe making $50,000 a year in your job as a household or as an individual, a good weekly average, once a week, is about $96. That seems like a lot sometimes to a lot of us. And you multiply that by 4, that's like $300-$400. That's a lot. That's probably as much as half of what we're paying for our house. So maybe you aren't quite at that point yet. Maybe you go back a percentage, but that might be a good goal. It's a biblical model. In Scripture, we even heard that in the Old Testament, God has given to Abraham and Jacob bountifully in their crops and in their possessions, and they were obligated to and felt responsible to give God a tenth. That's their tithe. Now, we aren't going to hold hands. We aren't going to say people should do anything, but it's important to know that churches don't survive on their own. Contrary to maybe how I even grew up or others have grew up, there's nobody else supporting Bethlehem but you. And as you support your church, you're also supporting what the church does. You're supporting all the great education our preschool kids are getting. You're supporting all the great education and volunteer hours that our Sunday school teachers and kids are getting. You're getting faithful worship each and every week. You're getting people that care for the elderly, go to the hospitals. They're there when your loved one is sick or dying. You're changing the world and the community by your presence and support. And that's why we must, at times, remind us how we steward our time and treasure and talents. But I'll turn to you this next slide. It goes back to this that we heard today. Each one must give what he has decided in his heart, and not reluctantly, right? Anybody go to Starbucks or a good coffee shop? How much do those things cost? Like $5 a crack? Think of that. What if we, maybe for a day or two a week, decided enough to give up our normal coffee and said, I'm going to give that back to you, Lord. You add that up, that gets to be quite a bit. Or maybe that really that good temptation to go to Culver's and get some great chicken tenders. Maybe we just wait and we put that money aside and not look at it, not be tempted by it, and say, this is yours, Lord. You can think of all the other areas in our life where maybe we get a little too trigger happy. It's really easy to swipe those credit cards. So don't be reluctant, but also don't feel compulsed. God loves a cheerful giver. Now that's the money side of things. I'll turn to this next slide here. Again, we said that the love of money is the root of evil. It's not that money is bad. We all need it. It's one of the necessary evils of the world. It's how the world functions. It's how the church functions. But it's the love of it, whether we have too little or too much. I'm urging all of us today is to love God more than we love our possessions. Love God more than you love your money. Because when we die, we're not going to have any. And in that so doing, we build up our faith. So I want to turn to this final slide here today. This is a model of growing in generosity. A lot of us were in the occasional churchgoers, we're the occasional givers at times. All we ask is to just climb one step and see how that changes your life. And just like we remember from the time of Christmas, we love to give. It makes us feel good. And when you do that, you're helping other people. So with that in mind, I'll turn once more, this last slide, to go back to our theme for today. It's about faith. For us as good stewards, we have today is for you in your bulletins and on our welcome desk are these little cardboard boxes. You can pick one up if you haven't got one already. If you were here a week or two ago, we were seeing a model for this with our Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Take this little box, fold it up. You don't need any tape or glue, and it forms a box like this. And each and every week, we ask that you maybe find the change from your laundry or in your pocket, or maybe put a little IOU, maybe if you don't have something in your car. Put it maybe by your kitchen table or in your vehicle, and reward yourself. So getting, when I was growing up, my parents, my mom had a little mason jar by our sink that was a swear jar. If one of my family members or my friends said a bad word, we had to put a quarter in that jar. Now, that probably is the reason why I became a pastor, because I didn't want to give any my quarters. This is not about that. This is a way of promoting what you already are doing. And when you find that out, it's really great. It's a way to be cheerful. So first of all, we're talking about faith today, which is where we have to start. Take one of these home and bring it back next week. We have a little table back. Put a quarter or maybe a dollar or any sort of amount when you say a morning prayer, when you say a mealtime prayer, or when you say an evening prayer. Think of that. Now, if you're like me, you're praying maybe throughout the day. Maybe it's for different things. Reward yourself because you are building up your faith by talking to God. And you'd be surprised how fast this box will be filled up. And that's one way of managing the faith that not you created, but God has given you in your heart. We can do this this week. So today, grab one of these. Start already, because you guess what? Already today, be in church. And maybe if you go to have lunch, you might say a prayer then. And it adds up. What we're doing today is being cheerful givers. And the proceeds from whatever we give will go to our various missions. But first of all, we start here by this place that we're gathering. We have to acknowledge that this place takes our giving to pay for. So each and every week, we're going to look at faith, family, and friends, how we steward them. Now, first of all, we mentioned prayer in our faith life. God loves a cheerful prayer. Don't feel like you have to pray just to get it done with, but do it because you love God. Do it because you love your family. Say a prayer for your family. When's the last time, husbands, you prayed for your wife? And don't say, Lord, I hope that the meatloaf is great tonight. I mean, really pray for her. She's the one God has given you. How about wives? When have you prayed for your husband? Children, how about your parents? They need your prayers too. Some, you might say some more than others, but no. This is how we grow together in our faith. It starts with talking to each other and talking to God. And when we do that, we will find out that we end up being a little more cheerful. And God loves a cheerful giver. And guess what? So do each of us. So remember, as we open up this year, we open up our lives to how we manage our lives and each other, that you remember that you are a steward of your faith that God has given you. And don't let that little faith stay like a seed. Let it grow up and produce more faith in the people around you. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for every single blessing of life that you've given me. My land, my home, my family, and all that you have given me in my heart to trust in you in faith. Help me be a good steward of those things and always look to you, always be thankful to you, and doing it all through the cheerfulness of my heart. Through your Spirit we pray, amen.